Yeah, I want to welcome you to the outreach, follow-up, and visitation ministry. You know, this is a very important ministry. But it appears that many of us, when I say many of us, I mean the body of Christ, the church, we don't participate as much as we're supposed to. And then we know that this is the heartbeat of Christ. It is pretty much easy, so to say, to win a soul. It is pretty much easy to convert, do evangelism, give out tracts, you know, invite people to the church. They listen to good sermon, and within that 1 hour sermon, they be convicted, and then they give their lives. But it doesn't end there. Our job, our duty has just started. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody that just walked in and then accept Jesus Christ and then walk out? No outreach, no communication, no interaction. What we are doing is that we are creating a loophole for Satan to penetrate. Praise the Lord. And there's so many, the good thing about it is that God has given so many people the idea that we have technology now. You know, during the time of Paul and during the time of Jesus Christ, they have to be there. They have to be there in person. But now we can send out emails. We can send out texts. We have cell phones now to reach the people. I remember when I came to this country, there was no cell phone. I mean, if you want to make a call, you go to the phone booth. If you happen to have a phone in your house, you know, you are kind of workplace. But this time, almost everyone has a cell phone. Almost everyone can text. Almost everyone, including my wife, can tweet. Praise the Lord. So we are advancing. Praise the Lord. So we have no excuse in reaching out people. We have no excuse in following up people. And God expects us to do that. Praise the Lord. When we look at our brother Paul, you know, he was fully committed in his ministry. When he converts souls, it's either he goes or he will write letters or he sends someone. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Now, Paul sent Timothy. He sent Timothy to go. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and NLT, if you have it. It says, and we sent Timothy to visit you. Paul said, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith. So these people that have given their life to Christ, they need to be encouraged. They need to be strengthened. Because they have so many issues in their lives. Some of them came in with burden. And then they heard the sermon and they gave their life. They went back. So they need to be encouraged. And this is our responsibility. So when we don't follow up, we are creating a loophole for Satan to strike. The Bible says in, I think it's Ecclesiastes 10, that when the hedge is broken, the serpent will bite. So that's what we are doing. We are creating a loophole for Satan to come. Because they will have, as I go down, many of them have problems, like I said. And then when they go back, they go back to that their problems, thinking that, God does not love them. Let's look at Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We know this scripture very well, what we call the Great Commission. I'm going to read Amplified Version. So Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples." That's our number one assignment. He said we should go and make disciples of all nations. Again, help them. As help the people to learn of me. So when we convert people, we should help them to know Jesus Christ. He said, help them to know, to learn of me, help them to believe in me, and help them to obey my words. Then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 20, teaching them, this is very important, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. What is he talking? He is always with us. Even when you are having problems, no matter the circumstances, Christ said, he's always with us. So when we approach them and there's obstacle, we should not be afraid, because he's always there, with us. Praise the Lord. So, but the Great Commission is not just for us to add more believers to the church or to the body of Christ. That's not what the Great Commission is talking about. The Great Commission is for us to make disciples who will make more disciples, and those disciples will in turn make more and more disciples. So as we disciple them, they continue to disciple others. As we disciple them, as we teach them the word, as they begin to learn more about Jesus, as they begin to understand, have that intimate relationship with Christ, then they'll be well grounded. And now be able to disciple others. In other words, the Great Commission is advocating or asking us to promote spiritual multiplication. Spiritual multiplication. So what is follow-up? I say it's a process of giving continual attention to new Christians until they can find a local church where they stay and feed from the word of God and grow till maturity. Pastor Dorothy talked this morning about helping them until they are well grounded, or make sure that they go to a well Bible based church where they can grow. And it is a responsibility again. It's not just okay, to lead them. When you lead them, even if you ask them to go, you make sure you get their phone number and follow them off. Make sure that they are in a good Bible believing based church. Praise the Lord. So I said we spend time talking to people about Jesus. We sometimes win souls of Christ, for Christ. Some will accept him and some will not. The question is, what happens to those that gave their lives? I wonder where they are right now. Are they still alive or dead? I mean spiritual death and not physical death. Now, let me make my point clearer with this illustration. Sometime last year, our daughter Chinenye, got pregnant. She told her mom about it, and my wife told me, the good news. We were all excited, and we prayed that God would give her the strength to carry the baby till delivery. We took her out for a very good breakfast for celebration. Praise the Lord. That's the joy of expecting a baby. From that day, my wife started monitoring her, making sure that she feeds well and do less work. After 3 months, she went for checkup and she came to announce that she was carrying a baby girl. From that day, we all started shopping for our fourth grandchild. We were all looking forward to the day she will arrive. When that day finally came, my wife was there, her husband was there, and I was waiting for the good news because I went to work. Text message came, baby and mother in good health. First thing in the morning, I was at St. Barnabas Hospital to welcome our precious Chinazam, Chimamanda, Chloe, into the family. I saw the joy in her mom. I saw the joy in her dad. Few minutes later, the doctor came and said, they checked the baby, and she is perfect to go. You can take her home tomorrow. Now, can you imagine what would happen if the mother, after the mother and the father signed the discharge papers and leave that baby in the hospital by herself to take care of herself? Can you imagine both of them telling the nurses, well, we have done what we're supposed to do. We are going home. The baby can take care of herself. Brethren, this is exactly what we do. We lead these people to Christ and we abandon them, leaving them to take care of themselves. This is exactly the way we do. Nobody can leave his baby in the hospital and go home. But we bring these people to Christ. They are still babies. They are baby Christians. And they need our help. But we abandon them. Our responsibility is to help them grow spiritually, just like we nurse our children to grow to maturity. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2:7, NLT. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, as apostle of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you. But instead, we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. That's Paul talking. We are supposed to feed them with the word, care for them, look at their issues, look at their problems, see where they need help, see where we can help them. It is very important that, you know, we follow up with those that, you know, we led to Christ, because Satan is always fighting to make sure they don't grow to maturity. Now, this is the work of our ministry. But this job is not just for our ministry. It is for every one of us. It is an assignment God has given to every born-again child of God for us to do. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:5-9, NLT. It says, after all, who is Apollos? And who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made the increase. So we all have our own responsibility. Each and every one of us, we have our own responsibility. Verse 6 says, I planted the seed in your, verse 7, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. We all have the same purpose. We all have the same purpose. And our purpose is to bring these baby Christians to maturity, that they will have intimate relationship with Christ. That is our purpose. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:10, ERV, says, God has made us what we are. So no matter, God is the one that has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us new people. And this is the reason. So that we will spend our lives doing good things He had already planned for us to do. See, God has already planned everything for us to do. It's just like you walking into a new house. It's not you that built the house. The house is already built for you. So God has already made everything for us to do. The good work, the work we're supposed to do, He has already made it for us. Praise the Lord. And this is why God has given each and every one of us spiritual gifts to be used to edify, you know, the body of Christ. The spiritual gifts He has given to the body of Christ for edification, for us to use it to edify, you know, the whole church. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 5, 4 and 5, amp. It says, now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by grace, and extraordinary power. So we all have extraordinary power, special abilities, you know, God has given to every one of us. Power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. And there are distinctive varieties of ministries and service. But it is the same Lord who is served. Now, what are these gifts, you know, for? Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter will tell us what these gifts are for. 1 Peter 4:10, 4:10, 10 and 11, NLT. So God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So the gift God has given to us, the spiritual gift He has given to us, He wants us to use it to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Like I said, they need help. And God has equipped us with, He has armed us with what we use to help ourselves, you know, to grow. So then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. So let's look at our objective as in this ministry and as children of God. What is our objective? Our objective is to help bring new believers to a place of maturity. That's our objective, to bring them to a place of maturity. Let's look at Philippians 3:10, Amplified Version. It says, and this, so that I may know Him experientially. That is, Paul said that I may know Him, to have intimate understanding, intimate knowledge, intimate relationship, you know, with Christ. Becoming more thoroughly acquainted with Him. Understanding the remarkable wonders of His person more completely. And in that same way, experience the power of His resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers. And that I may share the fellowship of His sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into His likeness, even to His death, dying as He did. Inwardly, to be like Jesus, inwardly. So we will teach them, train them, be with them, disciple them, so that they will change inwardly. Inwardly. Be like Jesus inwardly. Colossians 1:28-29. NLT. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. So we want to present them to God, perfect in their own relationship to Christ. Present them to God, perfect. 29, he said, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So Paul said, that's why I work very hard. He puts effort, and we're supposed to put effort. We know it's not easy, but God, like I said, God has given us the power, the ability, the strength to do this. So we should put in more effort, just like Paul is saying. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Because we are fighting against Satan. It's a struggle. We all know it's a struggle, but we continue that Satan will never defeat in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, objective. We want them to be able to be disciples, to make disciples, like I said. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to the others. So we teach them so that they will be able to pass the teaching, to others. Three, third objective, to help them to be grounded in faith. We're supposed to help them to be grounded in faith. Colossians 2:6-7. Say, therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say. So we want them to reflect the character of Christ in whatever they are doing. I remember I'm also talking to ourselves, because if you don't reflect Christ, I don't know how you can teach someone to reflect Christ. Praise the Lord. Living lives that lead others away from sin. We live a life. Made them to understand that they should live a life that, will take others away from sin, that make others not to sin. Having been deeply rooted in him, and now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. They'll be deeply rooted in Christ. And as they're being rooted, deeply rooted in Christ, what the root, does, for the tree. It draws the nutrients. It draws nutrients and then makes the tree to be alive. So when we get them rooted, when we get ourselves rooted, in Christ, they will be able to draw, from Christ. And we see ourselves being transformed into the image of Christ. Praise the Lord. So it is very important that we understand that not every person will accept the gospel. Christ made this clear to us with the parable of the sower. Mark 4:3-9 NLT. Say, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. 5. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. 6. But the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out of the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on a fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. 9. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now let's look at Mark 4:14-20 to see the interpretation of this parable. It says the farmers plant seed by taking God's word to others. The seed is the word. The seed that fell on the path represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Like I said, he's always there trying to snatch them back. They say we're in a battle. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fade away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. If you remember in that video, when Christ touched that lady, what happened? When she got healed, she came back home. And then she started getting persecution. First of all, her building caught fire. Then some of her Muslim friends, professors, they were trying to get her back. They were trying to force her to destroy her testimony. But the only thing that kept her is that he is real. I saw him. He is real. So no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter what I'm going through, he is real. Praise the Lord. 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. The law of wealth and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as he did. See, this passage tells us that there are four categories of people. People that did not accept the word, people that received the word joyfully, but when problems came, they fell away. They fell away and lose their interest. So these are the people that they come and then they hear the message, that they get so excited. Some of them will even give their lives. And then when they go back, we had a neighbor, at Oka. He was living above us. Now, he followed us. I was in Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship then. So he followed my wife, to Full Gospel. And for about 2 or 3 times. So he finally gave his life. But this guy had, the problem he had was, he drinks. He liked to drink palm wine all the time. He drinks palm wine. But again, I didn't want to tell him to stop. Because you don't just go force, yourself on him. But I kept, using the word to try to make him to understand. Just like myself, when it wasn't easy for me to give my life, because one of the problems I had was cigarette. I couldn't understand how I will accept Christ and then not be smoking. So the guy that came to me said, "You know, Chuck, you know, you think there's no life, no joy, you know, being a Christian. Do you know if you're a Christian, you can still be doing what you are doing? You can still be having fun." I said, "Is that really? Is that true?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, so when I gave my life, I continued with my cigarette. Until one day, it dawned on me, you know, how can I be smelling cigarette, you know, talking to people about Christ?" So I went to, at Onisha, these are Hausa people. They have a bacha with a stool. So I sat there. I asked for one cigarette. But before then, I already prayed. I said, "God, you know, this is my problem. So I want you to put enmity between cigarette and myself." And as I sat there, I took the cigarette and lit, gave a puff, and then that prayer came to me. "You are taking your enemy. You are taking your enemy." So I knew God was talking to me. So I dropped it and stepped on it and left that place. Till today, I never smoked. And this is something I have been trying to quit for years. Every New Year resolution, I will make a New Year resolution that I will not smoke again. I will quit for about two weeks or 3 weeks. Then the fourth week, I will smoke more than just to cover the days smoking arrears. So this guy upstairs, you know, his problem was drinking. And then I said, "Well, Ferdinand, the issue is that one thing is that if you continue to drink, the people around you are deceiving them. So you have to at least reduce. You have to reduce." And then from there, God spoke to him like he spoke to me. And he stopped. So what am I saying? You see, these are habits, you know, we formed right from, for years and years that has, you know, sticked into us. It can't break it immediately. You can't break it. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the power of God to break habits. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And once God knows that, you know, you mean it, that it's affecting your own relationship with him, and you want to stop it, you know, he will do it for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I said, notice that the seed that was sown was the same seed. Because he said the farmer came and scattered all the seed. It's just the same seed that fell on the path. The same seed that fell on the path. And this is how it is in follow-up. So we should never be discouraged if some people do not respond as we expected. Preparation. It's good preparation. How do we prepare? We want to go to, you know, I was watching the TV the other day, last week. They were showing the past presidential debate. And they were showing Romney preparing for his own debate. And then the way he was just preparing himself, combing himself, getting himself ready, trying to look good, you know, for the debate, for people to appreciate him. Just for people of the world to appreciate him. When he appears there, he will look presidential. Even the way he was cutting his meat, the way they eat, so that people will not overlook them. So when we go, we have to be presentable, because we are ambassadors of Christ. Don't take it, you know, for granted that, well, let me go and talk to, you know, follow this person. Get prepared. Study the word. Be ready. You saw that lady, saw the movie. She said she had the knowledge of Muslim, Islam, Buddhist. She went there asking them. She bring out some statement and then ask them to refute it, ask them to argue it. And then she ended up being disappointed. And that kept her going, believing that that Islam is the best religion. Because there was nobody to challenge her. But if she had met a Christian that knows the word, then probably that would have stopped her. But she kept looking. Some of these people are looking. They are looking for people to tell them the truth. Don't forget that even if they give their life today, at this minute, they still have unbelievers' friends that they have to deal with. Just like, you know, she dealt with us. They are waiting for them. When I gave my life, most of my friends, you know, at Oka, they were all medical doctors. I saw one at Ikenga, you know, when we were coming out from Outreach, Ikenga Hotel. And then he said, he was drinking beer. And then he saw me coming out with Bible. He said, Chuck, what are you doing? Are you one of them too? I said, well, why don't you throw that Bible away? Let's go ahead and drink a beer. I said, well, there's no life in that thing. This is where the life is. The Bible is my life, but that beer is no more my life. And he couldn't believe it. So they have challenges. The unbelievers are there waiting for them. They are old friends, and it's hard for them. So when we begin to nurture them, begin to tell the truth, then they will find a way to separate. It's not something you can cut off immediately. Obviously, you can't cut them off completely because you want to win them back. You want them to come and follow you to enjoy what you're enjoying. That's why I told the guy that led me to Christ, Brother Mamba. The day I saw him, because he kept coming. I said, man, this guy is disturbing me too much. So, but the day I gave my life, I saw him. I said, oh, brother Mamba, man, I didn't know this is what you guys have been enjoying. And then they are going to dance and all this, thinking that I was enjoying myself. I didn't know I was killing myself. Praise the Lord. So they should understand, have that understanding that they have people to face, and they should know how to handle them. So be careful with what we say, especially the kind of stories we tell about people. If we go there to gossip, when you go for outreach, and you go there to gossip, you have destroyed your testimony. We have only one story to tell, and that is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:29. Paul said, when you talk, don't say anything bad, but say the good things that people need. Whatever will help them grow stronger, then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear you. So whatever you say should be a blessing to those that, you know, hear you. And I say, remember, you are there for them and not for yourself. So be respectful. Don't go showing them you are junior Holy Spirit. Show you how spiritual you are. And don't go to eat and forget your purpose. Time for dinner, you eat with them. And then they give you the one you take home, you take. So you remember, you are going there to help a spiritual baby because they are taking notes. Next time they say, oh, this man has come again to eat our food. So they will not even listen to you. Second Thessalonians 3:8-9. Paul said, we never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night, so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Like I said, there are babies, they are watching you, they are watching us. You know, the way we approach them, what we do, what we say, they are watching. Offer to pray with them or for them. Leave something with them as a reminder of your visit, like a CD of the sermon they missed. Assuming that, you know, they come to this church, a CD of the sermon, you can purchase it as you're going. You give it to them. Some tracts, some Christian books, you know, to take their minds away, to occupy their minds. Be very careful. This is very important. Be very careful when following up opposite sex. In other words, if it is necessary that you must follow up someone of opposite sex, take someone with you. If you are married, go with your spouse. I remember at my wife's school at Northfield Comprehensive. I remember there was a teacher there. That's your school. A teacher that was ministering to this lady, a fellow teacher, a lady teacher. And then this lady gave her life. And the man thought she really gave her life. And this man, they're always having discussion, Bible discussion. Until one day, she was ready, you know, for him. She tried to seduce him. And the man, you know, didn't fall for that. You know what she did? She took a hammer and broke his head. So that's why I'm saying this. It's very important that if you're going to fellowship, if we're going, oh, you know what I'm talking about? Who I'm talking about? So make sure. You know, you go with somebody. Praise the Lord. So why do we need to follow up people? We know our brother Paul, when he came to Galatians, and then after preaching and left, he got a message that the people of Galatians, you know, are now falling back to the law. And that reminds me, I remember our pastor, our senior pastor, you know, talked about when they went for evangelism, you know, in Lagos. And after leading that guy to Christ and left, the moment they left the house, Jehovah Witness people stepped in and tried to reverse everything, you know, he believed on. So our pastor said they went back in again and drove them out and continued. So this is very important because Paul saw that, and Paul was not happy. Paul was not happy. He says in Galatians 1:6-7, he says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. Says you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. But it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. So like I said, these are babies. So they can easily be manipulated. So but when we continue to visit them, continue to get in touch with them, see how they are life is going, they will be able to understand all these things, be able to know, and then be able to stop these things, the intruders. Praise the Lord. I'm going to fast forward a little bit because my time is up. So like I said, they have challenges, they have persecution, they have old friends may want them to come back to the things of the world. That's a Bible passage for that, and it's Proverbs 22:24. That's a message. It says, don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hot heads. 25, it says, bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. Praise the Lord. So bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. It is our responsibility to help them to grow. And one of the ways we can help them to grow is by prayer. Prayer is very important for follow-up. Paul prayed for his disciples. In 1 Thessalonians 3:10, ERV, he says, night and day, we continue praying with all our heart that we can come there and see you again. We want to give you everything you need to make your faith strong. So continue to pray for their faith, that they continue their faith will continue to be strong. Jesus also prayed for his disciples. In John 17, I don't want to say, but I picked out John 17:17. He said, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is true. Teach them your word. So we're supposed to teach them the word of God, which is true. In the same way, it is important for us to pray for new believers, trusting God to work in their lives. Praying with them shows that we care for them. It also gives them an example of what it looks like to communicate with God. Praise the Lord. Now, the word of God is very important. Teaching them the word. They need to be fed, just like babies need food to grow. The word of God is spiritual food that will help them grow spiritually. Jesus was very much concerned about feeding his people with the word of God. He made sure that Peter understood this. In John 21, 15 to 17, New King James Version, 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. I'm not going to feed you, but we all know the story. For three consecutive times, Jesus asked him to feed my sheep, to feed my lamb. And this is why Peter was very persuasive, telling people about the significance of the word of God. He declares that Christians are to desire the pure spiritual milk of the word so that we can mature in our salvation. And that's in 1 Peter 2:2. And there it says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. It's a hypothesis. We should cry out for it because it's very important. Cry out, just like babies when they're hungry, they cry out for food. It says you cry out for this nourishment. Clearly, our responsibility is to provide them with the pure milk of the word of God so that they can move on to the meat and solid food so that they will be spiritually mature. We're supposed to build a loving relationship as spiritual parents. 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8 say, when we were with you as apostles of Christ, we could have used our authority to make you help us, but we were very gentle with you. We were like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you very much, so we were happy to share God's good news with you. But not only that, we were also happy to share even our own lives with you. They need to see your life. They need to know more about you. Not just, presenting them with the word, but you have to reflect what you're telling them. In addition to teaching spiritual things, we must also share our lives with new believers. Be open and honest about the good and bad, as well as what God is teaching us. Not just show them the good, 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 that you are perfect. They should also see how you face difficulties, so that when that comes to them, they will know how to handle it too. You should get together and do fun things. It's not just every time, whenever you see them, it's raining. Get together, do fun things. You can take them out for lunch. and have lunch with them, have dinner with them. If you like to go shopping, call them, they want to go shopping. Can they come with you? And then you go shopping with them. As you go with them, as you relate with them in this manner, you know, there's kind of a bond, an understanding you are establishing between both of you. And then he or she will come to know you better. He will know the spiritual aspect of you, and then the physical or the natural aspect of you. Praise the Lord. So when you become someone's friend, you show who you are. Let them know that it can be fun to be a Christian. Fellowship with other believers. We should encourage them to fellowship with other believers. They should come to Bible studies, Sunday school, life centers. These are avenues where they can grow. And they're supposed to know that such places exist. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, Amplify, therefore encourage and comfort one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. And Proverbs 27:17 says, As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. So through discussion, when they come to Bible studies, through discussion, through what they're hearing, they continue to grow. They continue to grow. Praise the Lord. It's also good to encourage them to tell others about Christ. You know, their experience so far with Christ. The movie we watched, the lady was telling them about what Christ did for him, for her. Say, I know what I saw. She even went to her parents, and they all gave their lives. So it's never too early to start encouraging them to give testimony of what God, you know, is doing in their lives. Hebrews 3:13 says, But encourage each other every day while you still have something called today. Help each other so that none of you will be fooled by sin and become too hard to change. So it is never too early. Again, don't forget the Holy Spirit. The work of it's important that they understand the work of the Holy Spirit. That what we are doing is not out of our own effort. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what we do. So because sometimes when they see certain things, you know, you do, they want to try it on their own. They become afraid. Oh, I can't do it. Let them understand the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit that is in control of all believers. And once you give your life to Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ that will empower you and give you the ability to do what you cannot do ordinarily. Praise the Lord. They might have questions and doubts, and it's important to support and encourage them right away. If you don't have the right answer to give, please don't give the wrong answers. Tell them you will look into it, and when you tell them you look into it, make sure you look into it and come back with the right answer. Praise the Lord. Like I said, they are babies. You are dealing with spiritual babies. So you are like their mentor. And whatever you tell them, you know, will have effect in their spiritual life. In conclusion, God wants us to do more than leading people to Christ. He wants us to go further. Remember, we are instructed to go and make disciples. We are to teach them everything about Christ. When you feed people with the word, they become healthy Christians. Paul mentions that he is like a spiritual parent to new believers. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. So we too can be like caring parents for new believers, watching over them, nurturing them, encouraging them, correcting them, and keeping them. When we do this, we are bringing glory to God. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.